Thank you all for tuning in to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey, the Josh Terry podcast brought to you by Raisin Grace Studios. Let's see. Big shout out to Two Pilots Distillery. Y'all go check them out. They're our sponsor this month. If you want to be a sponsor, just hit me up. Red Circle, thank you for all that you do, putting a little change in my pocket. Let's see. Our artist of the week is Mr. Jesse Wayne Taylor. Y'all go check him out. He's a bad, bad man. I met him in Nashville. And actually, the night that I met him in Nashville, soon as I walk into the bar, I'm sitting down with Lee Tucker and I guess the manager of the bar, maybe, or someone associated with the bar. He comes up, starts talking to me, and he tells me about this man's organization that I've got on the show with me today, Mr. Jason Johnson. He is with Project Canine Hero, and just from the little bit that I've read about it, Jason, I'm excited. I'm a huge dog fan, and I cannot wait for people to hear what you do for our canines that serve this country.
Well, first of all, you know, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be on, and it's always great to come on and share my passion and share our mission and what we do for our nation's retired police canines and military working dogs with a new audience.
I had no idea about it, sadly, until I went to Nashville. And I got a brief, me and you talked on the phone that night. I'm sorry, I was probably hammered when I actually spoke to you. I'd already been drinking. I wasn't expecting to get a call from you as quick as I got one. I very much appreciate you getting in touch with me. And you know what, dude? When they hear what you do and everything, there's probably not going to be a dry eye in the house that's listening. And I hope it's that way with them. So let's start off this way. Why don't you drop your social media link so people can go find you and Project Canine Hero and all that good stuff after they get done listening to the show?
Absolutely. The first thing, you know, people can go to our website, projectcaninehero.org. That's project, the letter K, number 9, hero.org. And on there, we have everything from a way to donate directly to our nonprofit to how to get involved in our organization as far as wearing some of our apparel, supporting our books. We have calendars. We have all types of things people can get out there in their community with our brand on it and let people know what we're doing. We have the Capital Campaign we're working on here in Tennessee. It's a rehabilitation, rehoming project that's on there. They can get on there and check that out. Anyway, so many things to do on the website, projectcaninehero.org. They can follow us on our social media at Project Canine Hero, and that's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And there's just things we up there every day. We're updating the amazing things today. And today, I know you're in Georgia. We're taking care of a dog in Georgia today. Duluth Police Department in Georgia, Canine Duco, had an emergency surgery. He's retired. It was $2,000, just over $2,000, and our organization paid that 100%, so that canine handler didn't have to pay that for his retired hero. And we'll get in a little bit more why it's not being taken care of by the agencies they serve in retirement and what we do for them. But just so you know, we are taking care of one of your hometown heroes in the state of Georgia today.
Oh, well, thank you. God bless you, man. I'm telling you, I already got chills. Because I've looked into it a little bit, which I'll do, helping these animals that are just patriots, and they might be on all fours, but they got the same heart me and you got, as far as I'm concerned. And I want you to go in depth as much as you want to, Mr. Johnson. And let's start off with this. Were you in the military?
I was a United States Army military police officer from 1993 to 1998.
Thank you for your service, sir.
You're welcome.
What got you started in this organization or to start this organization?
You know, first of all, I had known I wanted to be a soldier my whole life. And growing up, I didn't even know that being a working dog handler, a police canine, or in the military, I didn't even know that existed. I didn't know that was a profession. I didn't know it was a job. I knew I wanted to be a soldier like my grandfathers. One served as a Navy CB in World War II, the other in a Marine in the Korean War. So as soon as in high school, I could come in and serve my country, I did. And after 5 years, I learned more about being a police canine handler. And I thought, man, I'm going to get out of the military. And I had a good background for it, you know, being a military police officer. And I applied to be a police officer in Tacoma, Washington, a little town there called Puyallup up on the South Hill. Also worked in Yakima, Washington. I worked in Washington State for 10 years. And I became a police SWAT canine handler, doing a narcotics interdiction and also, you know, as a SWAT officer and really trying to improve the community. And my dog Flash, which we'll talk a little bit more about Flash later, but Flash had 3,000 deployments, 2,200 fines, and just a really good example of what heroes do for the community. Went on to Iraq and Afghanistan, served for the ambassador of the United States over there, doing explosive detection, three tours in Iraq, one in Afghanistan. I was the lead canine handler used in the Iraqi elections in 08, lead canine handler used in the Afghanistan elections in 09. Came back, went to ATF headquarters in Front Royal, Virginia, and ended up training about 2,000 dogs between the military, 21 international countries, FBI, CIA, U.S. Marshals, all of those things. Then over to Homeland Security, which you may have seen some of the passenger screening dogs in the airports to sniff passengers for explosives before they board. I was a what's called a field canine coordinator in that program, kind of like a program manager for a region, overseeing that. And, you know, at about by about 2016, when I started this, I just hit 23, 24 years of service. And I thought, man, all these dogs that I just spent my entire life working with and training, thousands, weren't getting any help or care when they got out of service. Like, you know, at least the veterans have the VA program, and it may not be the best program, but at least as a veteran or as a disabled veteran, I have somewhere to go if I need to, but the dogs do not. Specifically in the federal government, United States military, whoever adopts the dog, whoever, you know, whether it be the last handler or a civilian, whoever takes care of that, takes on that responsibility, also takes on all financial responsibility. And that's where I wanted to start a organization, Project Canine Hero, to make sure that those dogs weren't going without the care they deserve, that even if it was in the line of duty, you know, wear and tear on their body. We see a lot of things with the joints. We've had a lot of dogs with cancerous issues like lymphoma, lung cancer. We've had amputations. I want to make sure, and having a background in police and military, I know that a soldier, a Marine, an airman, a police officer does not have that kind of money laying around for some of these surgeries, which can be up to $10,000. And so we raise money through the nonprofit, and we pay those bills at 100%, just like we're paying that one today in Duluth, Georgia, for Canine Duco.
Dude, that's awesome. I also, at the same time, while you're telling me that, I kind of think it's a travesty that, I mean, they're soldiers, they're police officers, regardless of what, you know, they're being canines. They put their lives on the line. Why aren't they took care of after the fact?
Yeah, that's right. They are putting their lives on the line, and they're serving their communities. And I call it the most honorable profession in the world. I mean, as a police officer, that's who other police officers call when they can't figure it out. They call the canine unit. You know, same in the military. And the reason they're not is because when everything was established with a canine unit, just no programs or policies were put there to think about their retirement. You know, they'll take care of them. You know, I want to be clear that they're taken care of while they're working. Medical bills are paid, whatever they need surgery wise. But the moment they retire, even if it's something that was caused by a work injury, but the moment they're retired, they are off the books. And, you know, the agencies they serve don't have any funding in place to keep caring for them. Basically, you know, they're looking at the next dog and what's that going to cost to replace it. And they're more concerned with that than they are the healthcare. And that's where I really felt after all my years of service, I could get out of the government and continue to serve our country and really change the world and change the canine community on how these dogs are looked at. And one of the ways I'm doing that, not just, you know, from the apparel and all the things you see on my website, like my children's books and the calendars and stuff. We have the Canine Hero Act in Congress right now, and that's something I've been working on for the last 4 years. It got introduced a few years ago, and we're pushing hard to see it through, and that's going to take some federal funding for all us to allow Project Canine Hero to pay those medical bills and to make sure those bills are covered 100% directly. And that's going to help lessen the amount of donations we have to get out here and ask for, you know, on a radio show, like, or a podcast or a TV or a magazine interview, because we'll get some help that way. So I'm working hard to push that. And I think as the more we talk about pushing legislation and changing laws, the more we're bringing awareness to the great work that these heroes are doing. And, you know, one other way we're doing that, we got the Canine Hero Awards coming up this year in Washington, D.C., which I'm more than happy to talk about because we're going to release nominations here starting this coming Monday.
You can talk about whatever you want to, sir. like I said, I already get pissy when it comes to our veterans not being took care of after the fact anyway. But to know that even like our government just pretty much says, all right, this dog could have sniffed out a bomb and blew itself to hell and back. That doesn't matter. Like, there's just something wrong about that system. And the fact that somebody like you is standing up and trying to do something about it, I've got the utmost respect for you.
Well, I appreciate that. And you're absolutely right. You know, we got, let's just talk about Sergeant Yeager in our program was in Cary, North Carolina. Sergeant Yeager lost his handler in the line of duty in 2012, Lance Corporal William Tarro, and he was killed while they were searching for roadside bombs. One had went off. They were protecting their platoon, perhaps saved the entire platoon of Marines as they were out in front of them searching. Yeager had survived, but took shrapnel to his face. He also lost part of his ear, and he has lifetime bladder control problems. And he was retired by the Marine Corps to another Marine family who adopted him. But when that family adopted him, they didn't realize he was going to need $500 a month worth of prescription medications for the rest of his life. And, you know, they contacted Project Canine Hero, and here we are, and we're paying those at 100%. But I use Sergeant Yeager as an example of a Marine who did go out there and sniff out. He did previously 2 tours in Iraq. He also did one in Afghanistan where he lost his handler. And, you know, he received a Purple Heart from the United States Marine Corps. He deserves to be taken care of for his injuries. And the fact that there's no programs in place or funding in place to do that, I also think is just
it's bullshit.
Not appropriate. Yeah, it's not appropriate, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether you can say it or not, but I think I can. It'd be in my show. It's bullshit. I mean, that dog has made more sacrifices than 99.9% of the humans in this country. And there's no excuse. There should be no excuse why it's not taken care of.
Yeah, and that's why we're pushing with that Canine Hero Act. And to go along with that, you know, we got the Canine Hero Awards, which we're going to be featuring 7 of our nation's most heroic police and military working dogs. 7 categories: patrol apprehension, narcotics detection, firearms detection, explosive detection, tracking, search and rescue, and accelerant detection. And these are going to bring the stories to light in Washington, D.C. to our lawmakers to let them know the exact sacrifices these heroes make, not only overseas, but in our communities, right here in our hometowns. Everybody has a hometown, and most cities or sheriff's office nowadays have canine units, and they're there to help, whether it's keeping illegal drugs off the street from the dealers to search and rescue dogs who are out finding Alzheimer's patients, you know, the elderly or young children who may get lost in the woods. We have dogs in our program like that burglary or robbery suspect who just held an old lady at gunpoint, ran off in the woods and is hiding back in there, you know, with a weapon, and he needs to be located and taken off the streets. So these heroes, you know, we got dogs in our program who've been shot, lost parts of their body. Unfortunately, some of them lose their lives. And, you know, Project Canine Hero is here to make sure that they're recognized. And one of the ways we're doing that with this awards coming up, which, again, it'll be live on our website Monday, we're providing free medical care for life for all 7. That is probably a prize that I would estimate around between $20,000 and $25,000 each, depending the life of the dog and, you know, what injuries and things they have had. So we're super excited to be getting that out there. We're super excited to be working with Congress and really, like I said, changing the world and changing the thought process on how our hero looked at in retirement.
What can someone do to go help either support the bill you are trying to pass through Congress or anything along those lines? How can someone that is listening right now help push your goal forward?
Well, if you go to our website, projectcaninehero.org, one of those drop downs on the menu is Canine Hero Act, right there by the Capitol campaign. And you can click on that. I got a video on there that kind of explains about it. We have some literature on there that explains about it. We have a way to contact your representative. So, you know, you can, and we have a little, you know, template of what to say. It was Bill H.R. 5081. And tragically what happened, it was released by Congressman Ron Wright from the 6th District of Texas about 14 months ago, and he recently passed away. He had lung cancer and he contracted COVID, and he passed away a few weeks ago. That doesn't kill our bill necessarily. you know, if, with it being on the House floor, but it needs to be reintroduced. And we have, luckily, we have over a dozen other sponsors in Congress who are willing, you know, to put their name on it and see it go back forward. So the point, I bring that up because it's going to get a new bill number once a new member of Congress, we decide on which one will be the primary sponsor, and that will go forward with a new number. And I'll get that changed on the website, but with the tragicness of Congressman Ron Wright recently passing, we have to go through that process. But that's not going to slow me down. We're still going to look to get it done, and we still got people in our corner wanting to do the right thing on it.
I don't see how someone wouldn't support this. I don't see, with all the people that the government already gives money to, that once again, you don't have to go into any depth of this. This is where I like to piss people off, where people that live off of government assistance get handouts, and the government pays for everything they do, but we don't pay for something like this, is a joke. And that's why we get laughed at by so many other countries, unfortunately. I mean, it makes no sense. I don't see how this bill, if when it goes in front of Congress, that everyone doesn't stand up and say, hell yes, we're good to go. Give them whatever they need.
And that's my whole point. I believe that as well. It's totally bipartisan, you know, but last year we sat with it on the House floor. I think it was introduced in November of 19. I went through all 2020 with not getting any bipartisan support. So, you know, as a nonprofit leader, regardless of my own beliefs, you know, being a former military and police, I'm trying to just do the right thing for the dogs. And it can be difficult because there's politics involved. You know, at the end of the day, it's politics. And I think I'm coming with a clear plan with the awards, because in the Canine Hero Awards, we're going to be getting members of both sides of the aisle, the Democrats and the Republican side, involved in the Canine Hero Awards. We're going to get them involved in recognizing the canine heroes of their community together, and hopefully help them understand and see the, you know, the importance of funding them in retirement. And so the Canine Hero Awards really does help bridge that gap.
Just let most of the members of Congress think that the Canine Hero Awards was their idea, and 100% you're passing the law. Just let them think that they're getting credit for it, and you'll be good to go.
Yeah, that's one thing that I know. I found that works as well. So, you know, if you look at the bill, my name's not on it. You have to have a congressman who wants to introduce it. But, you know, it's certainly an idea I had. But you know what? We're not here for the glory of anything. We're here to do the right thing. And as the founder and CEO of Project Canine Hero, you know, I'm here to make sure these dogs are taken care of in retirement, and I'm dedicated to do that. You know, any way that is that I think it's possible for us to reach our end goal.
That's the difference in you, sir, being in charge of a nonprofit and what a politician is. You are doing the right thing for no other reason besides this, the right thing. And you know what? I'm happy I got to meet you, dude. Like, I did not know a lot about it, and I've researched it a little bit. And the more you go into depth with this, the more that I am just, I love it. I mean, I love what you're doing. It still doesn't make sense to me why it hasn't been done before. But, you know, I'm glad that somebody decided to take up the mantle and do it.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with my background, you know, serving at all levels, you know, with the military, the police, the state, local, federal level, the overseas. I think that, you know, when I get up there in Washington, D.C. and stand in front of members of Congress or senators, I have the ability to speak intelligently on what these dogs have done for our service, you know, our country. We have examples. We have over 120 members in our program right now, and we have the ability to show them and tell their stories, true life stories. You know, there's no embellishment here, like the Jaeger story. Right now we got military working dog Rosso here, who served in the Air Force, was going to be euthanized because of his behavioral issues, but he found a home here at our rehabilitation and rehoming center so he can live a good and happy retirement. Served 10 Secret Service missions protecting the last two presidents, protected the president of Japan, a deployed Operation Inherent Resolve over in the Middle East, holds an Air Force Commendation Medal, and, you know, we train.
Shit.
He was going to be, you know, put down. And that's what we're here to make sure, that those types of things don't happen.
Why would one be put down for behavioral issues when you say that? Because I'm not sure I understand what that means.
Well, basically, as a patrol apprehension dog who also did explosive detection, Rosso pretty much was trained to be aggressive towards other people, bite, you know, people, to apprehend people, to take down suspects. And, you know, he was good at his job. He took that to another level. In fact, he took it to a level where he didn't really like any other people other than his handler. And what that ended up making him was unadoptable to the general public. And a lot of people said, well, why didn't his handler keep him? Well, his handler was a young airman who had an infant at home, 6 months old, who also remained, you know, in service in the Air Force and got a new military working dog. And in no way was his wife and infant equipped to handle someone with the capabilities of Rosso, just for a safety issue. And, you know, for that, they didn't feel he could be adopted out, but they contacted Project Canine Hero. And, you know, we were able to make sure that he has a place to go so he's not put down.
Whenever you do that, what is like some of the qualifications that someone needs to be able to adopt one of these dogs?
To adopt one of our retired military working dogs or police canines, one really needs to have some experience in working with a working dog or a dog of that caliber, for the most part. Each dog is different, though. Some dogs get along with children and other people, and some dogs like Rosso do not. But at a minimum, they need to understand the capabilities and what that dog is capable of, and have a nice yard and a safe environment for them to be in. And we have an adoption link on our website. It's at the bottom of the page. And we're going to be getting a new hero in here next week from Michigan, from the sheriff's office up there. His handler come down with pancreatic cancer and is unable to keep him, which is understandable why he's going through chemotherapy and everything. So it's going to be coming down to us, and we'll be rehoming that dog. That'll be one that'll go out to probably the most vetted out person we can find. Part of that rehabilitation rehoming process too, we're gonna have two adoption cabins out here on our 177 acres in Tennessee, where a qualified applicant who wants to adopt a hero can come out here, spend the weekend on us, interact with it, take it on the walking trails, play with it out in the fields, so we can see it's a good fit, not only for you and your family, but it's a good fit for that hero.
Dude, that's freaking awesome. I mean, it is anybody that loves dogs, and I don't know how the hell someone couldn't love dogs. You know, it just touches you. Because I'm sure these dogs, regardless of, I'm not going to say cute, because they're probably not the cutest ones ever. They probably look like warriors like they ought to. But, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are scared of them. I mean, it's probably almost the same stigma with owning a gun. I mean, these dogs are weapons. And I'm sure a lot of people just don't know what to do, or if they're scared of them or whatever. And you giving people the option of being around them first, to having their family be around them, that probably eases a lot of minds and just makes the adoption process so much easier. Go.
By us having those adoption cabins out here, it really helps the families to be able to come out here, meet the dog in person. And I just feel that the way we have it set up, where they're able to spend at least one night, if not two nights, with the dog, gives them a realistic, you know, mindset. Is this something they can take on? Is this something they can handle in their own household? And we also need to look at it from the dog standpoint. You know, this hero had served with another handler. Is it going to be okay adapting to this family or a family with children? And like I said before, some dogs are good with it and some dogs aren't, but it's our responsibility, you know, to make sure that we're doing the right thing for the dog first and foremost.
Have you had families that have just been like, I can't do this after being around them?
Yeah. And we'll tell you another Georgia story since we got so many dogs in the program. K9 Drax, Alpharetta PD, right outside Atlanta.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Drax had a bulging disc, and he had to retire early at the age of 4. And, you know, he couldn't serve anymore medically. And that handler had already had one retired canine, and then he was getting a new one to replace it. So he couldn't keep 3 active dogs in the home with the family. He just couldn't do it. And they asked if we could rehome Drax. So he came out here to our facility, and we found him a nice home, someone whose husband had been a police canine handler. They had experience with working dogs, had working dogs in the home before. Everything matched up, but when they got Drax in their house, he was just too much energy for him, because he was a 100-pound German Shepherd Belgian Malinois mix who, you know, didn't understand he was retired. He wanted to play, and she sent me a picture of like this scratch on her arm and said he tried to attack her because she came out with like a big fuzzy bathrobe on, and you can imagine what Drax thought. You know, he thought, hey, this is like playtime, like, you know, big old fuzzy arm, and so he kind of try to grab it. You know, it kind of resembles a bite sleeve.
Yeah.
And if you're not thinking right, if you're just throwing your big fuzzy robe on, and Drax is like, oh, playtime. And, you know, he grabbed her, not in a bad way, but this scratch was really, really light. I mean, if anyone's seen a bite by a police dog, you know that they can be gruesome. And I said, well, if Drax wanted to grab you, you would have known. Like, you would be in the ER right now. You wouldn't be sending this picture of this scratch on your arm. But I thought to myself, okay, this is definitely not going to work out, because if you're freaking out over that, you know, you're not suited to keep a police canine like Drax long term. You know, so we went and retrieved the dog immediately and found a secondary home for Drax, which we've kept him here in the organization. He's our facility mascot and lives with our director of operations now.
That's cool, dude. Have you found any dogs that after service that are just, I hate to say this, just they can't ever adapt to normal life?
You know, I'm working with Rosso right now with that, you know, the military working dog I talked about who's going to be put down, and I'm actually doing his rehabilitation myself here one-on-one. He hasn't been able to really interact with any of our other staff yet, which kind of ties me up with my time, meaning, you know, if I leave town, I have to take him with me. But, you know, he can see another person and you don't know how he's going to react with them. And, you know, like I said, 10 missions with U.S. Secret Service protecting the president, missions in Japan, missions in the Middle East. You know, he was trained to be aggressive. He was trained to protect. And you don't know how what he sees through his eyes. But I have been around him where stopped on the way here. I drove him back from Spokane to Tennessee. I stopped to see one of my old partners that I worked overseas with at Kansas City Police, Kansas City, Missouri. He was on duty, traffic officer. We stopped and got lunch. I was letting him see Drax. I handed him a piece of paper, and Drax went up to grab him, you know, up in the neck area for being that close to me.
Oof.
Absolutely no reason for, you know, for Rosso to do that. But my point is, he saw that as a threat, and, you know, he's not adapting well to people being around me. He's not adapting well. You know, he can't be out there when someone come up and shake my hand or hand something to me, which tells me he's not ready for any type of being out in the public, which also tells me, you know, the military made a right decision by not letting him be adopted out by a civilian or going to the handler's home where they had a small child. But with 177 acres, I do 2 to 3 rehabilitation sessions with him a day, 30 to 45 minutes, a lot of playing, a lot of ball, a lot of retrieve. For those who want to see some of that, go to our Facebook page and you'll see some of the lives. I do about a live a week. So check out some of the videos of Rosso. I do some questions and answers about his rehabilitation. And what, you know, what there is they all have triggers. And what I try to do is I learn what his triggers are. Being around a vehicle is a trigger. Being around people getting too close to me is a trigger. Being around things that make noise like a four-wheeler or generator is a trigger. And I remove all those triggers from our sessions. And the only thing he comes out with me and does is he exercises. It's all positive. If you're probably familiar with the chuck it ball, we have the large chuck it ball. I throw that thing as far as I can for him. He runs until his heart's content. If he can get 2, he tries to get 2, and he likes to keep them away from me. And we get some physical interaction. We get some verbal interaction. And most importantly, he's releasing all that energy that he has. And I'd rather see him do that out here in the open fields at our rehabilitation center in Tennessee than someone in the public.
These dogs are just, I mean, it's not even their fault the way they're like, I guess what I'm trying to say is everything that they've been taught, they were trained, and it probably, for a lack of better words, was beat into them. I mean, over and over and over and over.
Programmed, again. Programmed to not let someone come near his handler.
Yes.
Programmed that if someone comes to his handler, he's to back them off. Well, you know, you can't tell him someone who, you know, when he retired from the Air Force, he was the oldest active duty dog in the Air Force. He's 11 years old. They normally, some of them don't even live that long. And he has. And my point is, you're not going to retrain his thought process. The way he sees things and does things, that's been instilled into him. All you can do is manage it.
How often do you hear you can't teach an old dog new tricks?
You hear it a lot. And there are dogs out there who can adapt, but someone with Rosso's background experience, he's not adapting. And people look at him and they'll say, oh, he's so cuddly and cute, I just want to hug him. And I'll be like, well, you probably should stay about 50 feet away because we're not 100% certain how he's going to react to you trying to hug him.
Yeah, it seems like he needs about his own 10 acres with a very nice doghouse, a lot of dog food being fed regularly,
exactly,
a lot of toys, and just
that's him.
Give him
what he has. Yeah. He has a condo. It's an indoor outdoor. Yeah, it's on our page. If someone goes back and looks at Instagram or Facebook at Project Canine Hero, go back to about first week in December, and when I got back with him around Christmas, I posted a picture of him in his condo. It's real nice, indoor, outdoor, got a feed room in there. It's heated. It's real nice. He loves it. And yeah, he's got the big field. You know, we got 177 acres. That's why we bought this place down here and have it. He's got room to roam. He's got room where people don't mess with him, and he loves it. You know, and that's what these heroes need. And it is so much better an alternative. If someone goes and watches some of our live videos I've done with them on Facebook, you'll see how happy he is. So much of a better alternative than putting them down just because someone didn't have the resources or the ability to care for him.
I just don't understand why. I mean, I get, you know, you got cheap asses and people that don't want to pay for medical care for a dog or whatever after it's all said and done. But it just seems like there should have always been a program for this. And,
you know,
there should have been guidelines in place already that for when a canine got done serving, whether it was military or law enforcement or whatever, that, you know, that canine was took care of, and the handler and them. Let me ask you this. Are most handlers and canines, if a canine retires, is most of the time the handler going to be the one who keeps it if they're able to?
Yeah, I would tell you about. We find that about 90% of the handlers do get to keep their dog. However, no matter if they get to keep their dog or it's adopted to another civilian, 100% of the medical care is not being taken care of. And we know that these soldiers, these police officers, they don't have funding set aside because of what their salaries are to pay these bills that are thousands of dollars for their hero. And keep in mind, this hero might have saved their life. So they feel like a moral and ethical obligation to make sure they're being taken care of. And before there was nonprofits like Project Canine Hero out there, they basically had to go on personal debt. And we want to make sure that that's not happening. And by setting up a 501c3 organization who can take in funding from all over the nation, we're registered in all 50 states. That allows us to, you know, legally take in that money and legally put it to where it's needed without that handler having to go through the process.
Were there any other organizations before Project Canine that helped with the cost of these, or were y'all pretty much the trailblazers with it?
There was a few other nonprofits that helped with some medical care and helped with trying to get dogs, you know, coming back from overseas and trying to help with dogs who were going to be put down. But I feel when I wrote the Articles of Incorporation and, you know, our mission statement was a little different. One of the things that we do that's totally different is once a dog's in our program, we're paying for their bills, and we have 120 full-time members right now in our program that we've had. We pay the bills at 100% direct, not you pay it, send us the receipt, and we'll see how much we can reimburse, because there's programs that might give you $1,000 on a $5,000 bill, or they might do whatever. No, we pay directly that day. They don't even pay the veterinarian office. We will pay it 100% on our card and make sure that they don't have to even deal with it at all. And I've never seen another nonprofit do that. I've also never seen another nonprofit where someone had an emergency, like a gastric torsion, it's a bloat, and they rush them to the emergency veterinarian, and you know, they want a $2,000 down payment on their credit card just to start, and then there's another $4,000 bill at the end. I have called and actually had them reimburse that credit many, many times onto that handler's credit card, dropped our card, and made sure the 100% of the bill came to us. And I've never seen another nonprofit do that either. So I feel that the way that we're handling these bills is much different than, and it's much more beneficial to the handlers and the owners of these dogs than I've ever seen before.
Besides for you just being an example for what should be happening for canines, your organization ought to be an example for all nonprofits everywhere, the way that you act and the way that you take care of things. Like, there's just a no nonsense, put the dog first, do the right thing kind of aspect of what you do. And that's freaking awesome, dude.
Well, I really appreciate that, because, you know, when I left the government in 2017, you know, I was only in my early 40s. I still had a lot of time to work, and I was pretty high up in government, meaning I could have just stayed there, made my salary, got my retirement, got my benefits, and been about my business. However, I didn't feel it was right, what I saw with all these dogs, and I felt, like you said, I had to do the right thing. So, you know, I had to take a leap of faith by quitting my job. And some of those government jobs that I've had, you don't get back, you know, when you walk away. You just can't come back to work one day and it's like, hey, I'm back, you know, to get my job. And you go from a guaranteed salary for life to, okay, I'm a nonprofit owner now, and I have to hustle. And every day you have to get up and you have to tell people about your mission, tell people about your passion. I took $500 out of my pocket in 2016 to start Project Canine Hero, reined in the government until January 17. We made $50,000 that year just by, you know, I'm trying to create the logo, trying to create the website, trying to create a brand, trying to get some word out. I wrote my first children's book. Well, in 17, I quit the government. I said, okay, if this is going to go anywhere at the level I want, I have to really put myself out there. And being a government employee, they don't let you do that. So I quit. I just walked away. And we made $500,000 that year. 18, we did $1.4 million. 19, we did over $2 million. This past year, we're going to do about $2.5 million in 2020 once we get everything back. And it's a great feeling to see how we're getting notoriety all across America. And that's a lot of work. That's all. It's coming on a lot of shows like yours. What I tell people, I try to do one podcast or interview a week. That's 52 a year. And I usually stay pretty good at that. But I would say that 95% or more of your audience never heard of Project Canine Hero. And, you know, that's why, you know, we jumped to the opportunity to come on here and tell people about what we do, what's going on, how they can get involved. Go into our website. I know you're able to see some of the videos, some of the gear I'm wearing. I'm wearing one of our Captain America hoodies here today. We got some great apparel that make great presents, but more importantly, it helps the dogs and it helps people spread awareness about our mission.
I think you are going to be successful in helping people and as a nonprofit for a very long time. I mean, there's just something about doing the right thing and the way you're going about it that people probably just absolutely adore. One thing I want to know more about is the children books. Sure. Can you kind of dive into the children's books a little bit?
Yeah, I kind of touched briefly on my introduction, but we'll talk about Canine Flash. And she was my partner in Yakima, Washington, when I was a narcotics canine handler. Got her in 2005. She was at a dog shelter in Everett, Washington. She was scheduled to be euthanized. She was deemed unadoptable because of her activity level, her behavior, and her animal aggression. But she tested well to get to this class we were starting for narcotics canine detection at the Washington State Patrol. So we took a chance on her, and she ended up becoming my partner. And we went out and we worked in Yakima, and that's in central Washington. And again, she had 3,000 deployments, 2,200 fines. I had gotten promoted, went over to Iraq, in 2008 to work for the U.S. Ambassador's Detail as a dog handler, and I had to leave her behind. She ended up having two more handlers. And in 2013, when I was working in Washington, D.C. with ATF as an instructor, she needed a home, and they called me to ask if I could take Flash in because the handler she had couldn't keep her because of her other pets. So I flew all the way up there on my own dime. I got Flash. They sold her to me for a dollar. And she inspired me to start Project Canine Hero. And, you know, looking back on my first book, which is called Canine Flash Becomes a Hero, it's her story of being a street puppy who is going to be euthanized, be put down, who gets her chance to become a police canine, who subsequently goes on and has a huge career. And in 2018, she was named the Law Enforcement Dog of America by American Humane in the entire United States. Voted on by millions of people. And Hallmark had come out. They did a special on us. If you go to our website on our about page, you'll see some media links. People can watch the Hallmark video on Flash when she got her award in Hollywood and all that. But it's just remarkable. And with that book, I'm trying to teach children that no matter where you start from, no matter where you come from, whether it be a small town in Georgia or some big city, you can accomplish anything in the world as long as you're willing to work hard enough to earn it. And that was Flash's story. And that book, in our first several years, took me around the nation. I've read it all the way from Alaska to Florida, from, you know, East Coast to West Coast, and taught so many children about the canine profession. Because remember when I said I wanted to be a soldier my whole life? I didn't even know you could be a dog handler. So on top of that, we're trying to teach the next generation that, hey, this is an honorable profession. You can be a dog handler, whether it be in the fire service, the military service, the police service, and you can go out there and help your community. And so that book is available on our website at projectcaninehero.org. But this past year, I had another book come out called Canine Flash, A Hero's Hero. And that takes us from the time where I quit my government job and that first book came out and she won her award. And we really took Project Canine Hero to a new level, placing all these heroes in our program. And it's her journey about going out and meeting some of the other dogs. Sergeant Yeager, who I talked about earlier in this interview from the United States Marine Corps, featured in there. Canine Axel, who became another one of our ambassadors who needed a home. He's in there. We talk about different dogs and what they do around the country and kind of explain their jobs, but also kind of explain why they need our help. So that book's available. Also on our website, you can get them in a bundle pack. But I would say if you know any children out there between the ages of 4 and 10, these books are really good. And not just saying it because it's my true life story, I'm the author, but it really teaches kids about our profession and it teaches them about, you know, why it's important to not only take care of our canine heroes, but like you've said a few times, Josh, about doing the right thing. And that's all we're all about.
Yeah, I'm fixing to go order both of them right now. Dude, you're so cool. You being up there around the Nashville and that kind of area, have you heard Chris Stapleton's new album by any chance?
I'm a big Chris Stapleton fan. You know, I will say I try to get up in Nashville as much as I can. I'm thankful for Hasten. It was Hasten from Live Oak, who he's the one of the owners of that establishment there on Music Row. And I try to get up there, and I know you're friends with Lee Tucker, and I try to hang out with those guys when I can. My goal is to actually get up there and put on a show. I think they've offered the Live Oak to me a couple times due to kind of a fundraiser with some of the artists.
Well, you let me know.
Having that said, I want to have your brand, because having someone like Chris Stapleton involved would be awesome.
Well, so, what I was going to say is Chris Stapleton, on his new album, he has a song called Maggie's Song. And it's
I have heard that.
Okay,
heard
that's what I was fixing to ask you about, because the story you just told about Flash, it took me directly to that song in my mind, and I was like, I hope he's heard it.
Yep, I have heard it, and you know, I actually think Flash's story, when you read the two books, be turned into an animated movie or a movie for children. It's so inspiring to talk about, you know, a dog who is on the streets, going to be put down, gets a chance. Because if you look at, when you look at Flash, you'll see she's not your typical police dog. She is a mutt. She is a mix of many things. She's not, she's not big and strong. She was, you know, 48 pounds. But you know what? She was really good at finding narcotics, and she made quite the career doing that. And again, goes to show children, it doesn't matter how big you are. You don't have to be some huge German Shepherd or Belgian Malinois, you know, like an athletic type build. You can be, you know, a mutt like Flash coming from the streets and still make it all the way to the top of your profession.
Dude, you're going to help so many people. I can't believe I didn't know about Project K9 until just the past couple days or the past 2 weeks or whatever. This organization, like I said, is going to be around for a hot, hot minute. Anything that we can ever do here with my show or at Raising Grace Studios to help you with anything, please, please, please let me know if y'all are needing to raise money for any type of thing, or if there's anything we can do. I love what you're doing. I'm just proud I got to meet you. I think you're one of the few people. There's a lot of people doing good in this world, but there damn sure needs to be a lot more people like you. And this organization that is found a need, that is just one of the things that fell through the cracks in our country, and it shouldn't have. But you're righting a lot of wrongs right now, dude, and anything we can ever do. Like I said, you got our support 110%. With that being said, just once again, thank you for coming to do my show and taking some time out of your day. We had some technical difficulties, but hell, stuff happens. When you're doing good and the devil tries to get in your way, the good Lord finds a way to knock his ass back down. So we're trying to share something positive today, and just some demons got in our path. But before we get out of here, drop your social media stuff again so they can go look. If they want to donate or they want to help with anything, how do they do so? And then end with something positive, something uplifting, or just something real good about your doggies.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on. It's always an honor to come on here and talk about my passion and mission at Project Canine Hero. Again, go to our website at projectcaninehero.org. Check us out on there. You know, look at our shop, look at all the great things you can do to represent our brand in your hometown. Everything I talked about, from the shirts, the children's books, we got hats, we got bicycle playing cards. We got so many cool things on there. I think something for everybody to find, and learn more about why you're on that website, learn more about that capital campaign, about the rehabilitation rehoming center we're building out here. Always looking for those corporate sponsors. So if anyone's listening who are, you know, was inspired about what we're talking about here and wants to get involved with their company, you know, contact us on there. We'll have those Canine Hero Awards out nominations on Monday. And we talked about the Canine Hero Act. So all that's on our website, projectcaninehero.org. On our social media at Project Canine Hero on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, you'll see more of our day-to-day things, like the bills we're paying today, like the ones I talked about here in Duluth, Georgia for Canine Duco. And we update when we have dogs available for adoption. We update when we have dogs that were taken in who need rehoming. So all of that stuff is on our social media. Give us a like on all those pages that you follow, and I think you'll be able to see some live video and things we're doing there. And most importantly, I just want to say, you know, as a former soldier and a police officer, thank you for believing in me. Thank you for believing in our mission. One thing I always like to leave with is that these canine heroes spent their entire career protecting us, and now it's mine to spend the rest of mine protecting them.
Damn right. You ended that better than I ever do a show. Thank you so much, man. If there's anything we can ever do, please let us know. And folks, y'all go support them. Buy merch, donate, whatever. It's going to a great cause. This is a great guy, and his organization's awesome. So from bottom of my heart and everybody at Raising Grace, thank you, sir. And thank all y'all listening. Just thank y'all. Please go. I say it all the time, but with the last couple shows we've done with nonprofits that have supported military in one way or another, or this K9, the K9 Heroes, instead of buying something dumb this week, go support something that matters. I love you guys. Thank you for listening to Politics, Religion, and Whiskey. We'll catch you next time.